Welcome to the OA Serenity Sunday Meeting Podcast. Serenity Sunday is now hybrid, meeting in person at Roxbury Park in Beverly Hills and on Zoom. Visit the Los Angeles Intergroup's webpage at oalaig.org for information on how to join our meeting live in either iteration. Now that we're meeting in person, Serenity Sunday has regular meeting expenses and would appreciate Seventh Tradition donations to help support the meeting and this podcast. You can donate via Venmo at Serenity Sunday. Last four digits of the phone number are 6255, or through PayPal, SerenitySunday1212 at gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the Serenity Sunday podcast are those of the individual speaker and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. And now, our speaker.
Hi, my name is Sheila. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm grateful to be here. And I really want to thank Josh. I know he's not here, but for asking me. And there was some shuffling around with dates and stuff. And he was just very patient and warm and very loving and kind. And I'm really happy to be here. And thanks, Mark. It was good to know that you were going to be here. And Carl, and again, I was kind of scooting in at the last minute. And I apologize. That's not the way to play it. It's stressful when you're the person who's in charge. And the intention was, right, because it always seems like it's the days that I woke up the earliest that this kind of thing happens. And I had my alarm set for 9 o'clock, and I woke up at 6:30 and had to pee. And then would intended to go back to bed, and that just didn't happen. And as the morning kind of progressed, I thought, well, this is good. It'll give me time to do my morning walk and give me time to do my first meditation session. And then I'll, you know, get my journal writing done. None of that stuff happened. I did have time for an argument with my husband, but none of those things happened. And then I get in the shower and I think, well, I'm going to wash my hair and this is nice. I'll have time to blow it out, get it all nice and smooth and right. And that plane didn't land. And so, I mean, it's just always interesting, you know, how this plays out. But it was good to know, and it is always good to know, that the real healing that I'm looking for here, the stuff that's really important, the truth is it's actually happening. Because underneath it all, I knew that I was going to be safe and I was going to be okay, no matter what happens. And I'm driving over here, and I knew that Mark was here, and I have umpteen marks in my phone, but he spells it with a C at the end, so it was easier to find. Like, it just, everything plays out. And I said to my good friend Nancy, I've known Nancy for a gajillion years, and I was just thinking about her. Had no idea that she was going to be at this meeting. I was just thinking about her, and I was thinking how, you know, when you see those movies and somebody gets to the end of their life, and all of a sudden the names and experiences flash. I have a pretty good feeling that about 95% of those faces and names are going to be faces and names of people that I know in 12-step programs. And I thought Nancy would probably be one of those people. I mean, it's just so wild, and it's just so miraculous what we've got here. And you know, just in terms of the particular, because we're at an Overeaters Anonymous meeting, right? And I don't know if we have any newcomers. Do we know have any newcomers in this room, right? Now, anybody on wave on the screen? I don't know. There are a couple of newcomers. Yeah, I see your hand, and welcome to OA. I'm really glad you're here. It takes a lot of courage to come here. It takes a lot of courage to stay here, but you got to come for that first time. So good on you, and I hope you come back. I was thinking about that too. That in case I forget to say it at the end, you know, I spend so much time, and I'm in other 12-step programs. I started in Al-Anon and ended up in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's probably more important to pay attention to my own drink and not worry about my family's. And then I turned to somebody and I said, can we have a problem with sugar? I can't have a problem with alcohol, do like we have that here. She said, sure, go to Overeaters Anonymous. I weighed 200 pounds. My top weight's 200 pounds. I weigh about 125. That's the least interesting part that's happened here, the very least interesting. But that was certainly not what I was thinking at the time. And I'm sorry if it's awkward. It's kind of hard to know like where to look because I'm looking in the room and I want to look at all of you. But we spend so much time here doing the deal, and I suspect you all do as well, right? So the step work, the traditions, the concepts. I haven't even gotten to working with the concepts with somebody, but there's, you know, and there's service and there's sponsorship and retreats and, you know, all the different things we do. And there's so much time that we spend working. And I just thought, I don't ever want to forget how much I just love it here. You know, I love it. It really has never been the stick that has drawn me here. It has always been the love. I felt your love right from the beginning. Now, it took a long time for it to land because it's never been a food issue. Even when it was a food issue, it's never been a weight issue. Even when it was a weight issue, it's always been about my heart. Always. How available am I to you? How willing am I to be seen? And how am I seeing you? That's the whole gig. And I was lucky that I had a sponsor in the beginning who directed me to work the steps regardless of what was going on with my food. And she just pointed out, this was in the Midwest. I'm not a California girl. I'm a Midwestern girl. I'm from Michigan. We were influenced by the Alcoholics Anonymous, Bob Smith from Ohio. So I knew I was going to be going through the steps over and over again, because that was in contrast to the New York cohort, who thought you go through the steps one time, then do 10, 11, and 12. Bill thought for a long time that you only need to do one four step. And he reverses himself and talks about that in AA Comes of Age, where he finally got it that, oh, you probably need more than one. But again, I knew I was going to be cycling through over and over and over again. And it was very clear in the beginning, I just was not done with the food. I wasn't done with the sugar, and I wasn't done with the quantity eating. I just wasn't done. And it wasn't a moral issue. I didn't know that at the time. I thought something was wrong. I was doing something wrong. I wasn't playing the game, which didn't make any sense to me because I was doing what you told me to do. I don't argue with sponsors or cops. So I did what my sponsor asked me to do. And she said, get down and get busy and work the steps. I'm still in the food. I was very clear. I don't lie about that stuff. If I'm going to lie about something, I'm going to lie about something more interesting than my food. And she said, just keep working the steps. And that was a game changer for me. And I'm not here to be part of that big debate. I do not participate in that debate. Because I don't know how you argue with somebody's esh, right? How do you argue with somebody's experience, strength, and hope? And all I know is I was directed to work the steps, and I followed direction, and I was honest, and I just wasn't done with the food. I was dealing with some heavy duty. I had a sense of it. I knew I was dealing with sexual trauma, right? I'd been molested by a couple different men on numerous occasions, and I just wasn't prepared for those feelings. And I grew up in an alcoholic home, a violent one. And I just wasn't prepared to deal with all that stuff. I just couldn't, I wasn't ready to pull the pacifier out of my mouth. And, but I certainly was able to do what was asked of me in terms of the step work, and I did, right? So I started going with that. And again, my top weight's 200 pounds. This was in February of 1988. My sponsor just had me going through the steps. And so at this point, I've been through the steps a couple of times, and I'm now, it's 2 years later, and I'm down 20 pounds. Because I've never been up to my top weight since I came here. And it's a direct result of having worked those steps. And I'm going to just finish this and then jump forward a bit, because there's just not time for everything here. But I had a father who had three overweight daughters and didn't like it. He was very vocal about it. And he'd be vocal publicly. He'd say unkind things. But he'd say something to my, there were three girls, he'd say something to my oldest sister, and he'd throw a baseball and she'd throw three back. So he wasn't going to give her too much grief. And my middle sister worked in his business, so she didn't give me grief. So I was an easy target. And I was already dealing with the shame from sexual trauma. Nobody knew that. I never talked about that until I came to 12-step programs and got therapy But so I already was feeling shame. Shame's a big part of my story. And then all of a sudden I have a father who's saying unkind things to me about my weight. So again, coming over Eaters Anonymous, 1988. Now it's 1990. I'm at a family event. And I'm down 20 pounds. And I walk by my dad, there's people around, of course. And he says, okay, I can see you've lost some weight, but you got a lot more to go. Keep it up. And I turned around and I said, no more. That's it. It's over. We're done. Do not talk to me about my body anymore. It's over. And I had never spoken to my dad like that before. Nobody did. And I wasn't trying to be disrespectful, but it was really just fire meeting fire, right? And he never shamed me about my weight again, ever. Never talked to me about my weight ever again. And later took responsibility and apologized, right? And nobody could tell me. It was going to be another 10 years before I got abstinent. Because again, I've been here for 33 years and I only have 20. I've been here for 88. Yeah, no, I've been here for 35 years. And I only have 23. I just turned 23 a couple of weeks ago. I only have 23 years of abstinence. So I was a slipper for a dozen years. So that was 2 years in. It was going to be another 10 years before I got abstinent. And that was a direct result, again, of working those steps, right? Right in the beginning. And I was able to stand up to the bully. I was able to stand up to the man who should have been communicating to me all along that I was beautiful, beautiful little princess. And it had nothing to do with what I weigh, right? And nobody can tell me that that wasn't recovery. You can't. How do you argue with that? And I mean, we're Overeaters Anonymous. This is all inclusive. That's kind of the miraculous gig that we do in this pivotal 12-step program that deals with food is we just say, bring it on. What do you got? You want to weigh and measure your food? Weigh and measure your food. You want to do intuitive eating? Do intuitive eating. I got a girlfriend who her absence for years was no coffee Häagen-Dazs. She could have any other kind of Häagen-Dazs, but coffee was her gig. You know, do your thing. So that's what we do here. So why would we ever think we need to then stratify and decide which side of the line are you standing on? Oh, you're on that line. Oh, you're a whammer. Oh, right. You weigh and measure. Why would we ever feel like we need to do that? You know, and at any rate, so I just kept going because I knew then I wasn't even paying attention to the numbers on the scale. I knew then that something was happening. So I just kept going and then got abstinent and started sponsoring, right? And the miraculous thing about getting abstinent is then I could again start sponsoring. And it talks about it pretty clearly in the Working with Others chapter. It says, frequent contact, I'm paraphrasing, frequent contact with newcomers is great. So yeah, I wish I had my book, but it goes on to say is the bright spot of our life. It doesn't say a bright spot, right? The article it uses is the that's pretty powerful promise, right? That so the wonderful thing when I finally had a sponsor and an RD declare for me, because I was at this point, I'm now 45 pounds down from my top weight. It's 2000. I weigh about 155, haven't weighed 200 pounds for 12 years, and I'm still deciding I'm not abstinent. And I didn't have a sponsor saying, oh, let me just grab you by the scruff of the neck, grasshopper, and just tell you how it's going to go. And finally, I did have a sponsor who did that. And she just said, I'm declaring you abstinent. This is bananas. You've been here a dozen years. You've been through the steps at this point, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, just in this program, keeping in mind I'm working them other places too, right? And she said, you're abstinent. I said, but I'm, you know, I'm still eating sure. You know, and she just said, I'm declaring it for you. So it was May 30th, 2000. It was going to be another couple years after that into my abstinence when I finally put the sugar down. So there's just lots of ways to do this here, but it all was predicated on, I'm not making the decision. I'm not in charge. So consequently, I have taken that on with people that I sponsor. And I say to them, you're no longer in charge of your food. Your food is always between your abstinence and your food plan. And that's, I don't know if we'll have time for that conversation, but let's just kind of, you know, we all kind of know what we're talking about here when we talk about abstinence, and it certainly incorporates food plan, but it's between you, your sponsor, and God. And I just say to my sponsees, we're just going to, for now, we're just going to shunt you off to the side. And it's going to be between me and the loving God of your understanding, as you are letting me into what that experience is for you. And I'm saying, we're going to start right now with your abstinence. No more dress rehearsal stuff. Because what I found in a dozen years that I was slipping, where I had so much of a problem, because it was either, again, on or off, right? A black and white. It was that black and white thinking, which comes so naturally to me here. And it's only through being here and working the steps and being in process and being around brilliant, brilliant, longtime people like the Nanettes in the room and the Nancys in the room and the Rods in the room, like really paying attention to what these pivotal people who have just been sitting here and doing the deal are telling me over and over, that I get what it is that I came for. You know, and it's not about the weight loss. I'm glad that I don't weigh 200 pounds anymore. I deal with some health stuff and things kind of heated up for me during the pandemic. And I'm really glad I don't have that X factor. And it allows me to be very willing to follow a very, very, very rigid and structured food plan with a doctor who has the ailment that I deal with and has recovered and is walking, talking, can ride in a bike again. I mean, but it all started out from just this commitment to really working the steps here so that I can have that transformation inside. And it can't help but show up on my body. But it started on the inside, because the miracle isn't the what is the clothing size I'm wearing or any of that. Anything that you can see, my weight, what implements I use to walk, how I balance, any of that is nothing. You want to know who I am. Watch me when I'm rattled. Watch me when I'm late. Watch me when you and I disagree. Watch how I treat the homeless guy versus how I treat the guy in Beverly Hills driving up in the Bentley. See if there's parity there. If I'm treating this one the same and that one the same, that's going to give you information about who I am. Not any of this. But I was so lucky that I had great, great people who said things in the beginning, like, just work the steps. And it is corroborated in our literature in the first OA 12 and 12. It's in the chapter on the fourth step. And I think it's like 30, and it wraps around 31, and it says,
2 minutes, Sheila.
Thank you. You said three, right?
So sorry. Three.
Thanks. It says that, look, we think it's a good idea, because again, it's in the chapter for the fourth step in the OA 12 and 12, the first edition. They took it out of the second, which is why I don't have the second. But they say, look, we think it's a good idea that you would be absent before you do a fourth step. However, maybe doing a four step while you're still in the food might be the very thing that will encourage you to conclusively take a third step. And again, I'm paraphrasing. And that meant a lot to me, because I did plenty of four steps when I was in the food. I remember that sponsor saying, one of them saying, I don't care if you got a Snickers bar in your left hand and a pen in your right hand, you get that thing done. I read fifth steps with food stains on the paper. And I'm so grateful that I had somebody who was saying, do what you can do. What you can do right now, and feel what you can feel right now when you are taking away what has been keeping you sane for a lifetime, dealing with the things that I experienced in my home. And I'm not the only one. There are a lot of us, and we know, because OA brought out a book where it includes stories about sexual trauma in the book. And I know, because the book's got one of my stories in it. So we get this, that we are people. And just as I'm closing out, we're people who are showing up here there's a vulnerability, and there's a tenderness and a woundedness and a power and a strength and a frailty. And I just don't ever want to forget that. I don't ever want to forget that. So I don't say to anybody, you have to do this and this and this and this and this before you can be abstinent. Let's declare it. Let's put the stake in the ground now. There's no more dress rehearsals. I got into so much trouble over the years because I'd have had something and I think, well, this day's shot, I'll start on Monday. Okay, well, I don't want to do Monday. Tell you what, my dead mother's birthday is in 3 weeks. I'll start on that day. January 1st, 2000. Oh man, that was a game on. How many of us did that? And January 3rd, I was down again. So like that's been the whole thing. Whereas if the stake in the ground, and this was my ash, the stake in the ground, when my sponsor said, you're abstinent now, then when I made those poor choices, which I sometimes do, because like my brilliant sponsor, Nanette, always tells me, I'm a compulsive overeater. Sometimes I'm going to overeat, right? It doesn't mean you start all over. I don't have to do that. I don't have to participate in that. That was part of the healing. That was part of how I learned. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay. Just regroup. Right? And that was the issue. That was what was creating the necessity to hurt myself.
1 minute.
Thanks, John. With food is this whole idea that I thought I had to be perfect. There's nothing that's interesting about perfection, but the loving our vulnerability and our falling down and getting up again. And it's such a holy thing that we have here. And I just don't ever want to lose sight of that. I'm so grateful. It's great to be in the room and look around, and there's 14 people in the room, and I can't pine about the fact that this meeting used to have 114 people in the room. I just know that in my little space, I just want to stay very, very cognizant that it's about how can I be loving and supportive and kind, because if being mean was going to solve my problems, my dad would have solved my problems in my childhood. But so there's never that's going on with Sponsy.
That's time.
Thanks, John. But I want to just be clear, right? And give real specific direction, because that's what the big book tells me to do, right? The seminal, foundational, primary source material. So I'm very grateful to be here. I'm grateful you're all here too. And I'm Sheila, compulsive overeater. Thanks.